This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald.
I'm Ramya Amadhin, and this is Kelly and Ramya.
Let's get into a conversation with a public speaker and author and the founder of Above and Beyond. Anthony Fazina is here on the show now. So Above and Beyond is an accessibility consulting company that provides consulting and accessibility services to change attitudes and barriers related to access and inclusion. So it's going to be an interesting conversation. Anthony, thank you for coming on.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So tell us about, I mean, I just gave a bit of a snippet of what Above and Beyond is, but tell us about exactly what it is and what you do.
Yeah, Above and Beyond was created in honor of my mother, who passed away in 2016. But and it started when I wrote a book and started to write a book in 2016 and got it published in 2021. And never in my wildest dreams did I ever envision the acceptance of what the book would have. And then further to that, I started hosting a show on our local TV station here on Cable 14 of the same name. And really just took off from there. We're in our fifth season now. And it's just been an incredible experience to hopefully eradicate the attitudinal barriers and perceptions of what disability looks like and give lived experience to disability within our communities.
Anthony, I'm always amazed when we talk about taking something like a book, something that we've done, and Fedora's off to you, of course, with the honoring your mom this way. I'm sure she's very proud. And, wherever she is, she's looking down and saying, hey, this is wonderful. Tell us about putting a show together, getting to a fifth season, and for you, when you started out, moved it along, is it much the same? Did you change a lot? And how come? Fill us in so those of us outside of the viewing area might get some idea of what you do in that capacity, especially others that might feel very inspired.
Absolutely. So the show is through Cable 14 here in Hamilton. Thanks to Bill Custer, Jonathan Friedman, Harmony McKenzie, Travis Blackwell, and everybody that helped me along the way learn what it was like to put together a TV show, building the content, building the community relationships. I've had the opportunity to interview people like David Onley, David Lepofsky, having a lot of conversations about things that I don't even necessarily have that full grip on, intangible disabilities, invisible disabilities, hidden disabilities. But bringing that message out there about the importance of accessibility and inclusion, giving it to the forefront of the conversation rather being considered an afterthought, was something that's been really important to me.
Mm-hmm. Wow. What a way to learn about all of those things, especially, and I think we find ourselves in that very privileged position here because we learn a lot. We can't know everything, and certainly we can't walk in everyone's shoes. We can just do our best to understand.
Absolutely.
So tell us more about the kinds of speaking engagements you take part in.
Absolutely. So I've been hired in the past by Bimbo Canada, which is Canada's largest bakery. Hydrocephalus Canada, Amazon has hired me on to be a panelist with regards to speaking on technology and accessibility and the importance of bridging the gap to accessibility and inclusion by way of, cost versus rationale. Bridging that gap to things like within the communities that allow people with disabilities to thrive. I'm also the volunteer director of media relations for the Ontario Disability Coalition. So I've spoken at Queen's Park on a plethora of occasions, hosted events, hosted rallies for things like, upping ODSP, for example, and the need for people with disabilities to be in a space where disability is an opportunity to take it to the next level.
Right. I know, Anthony, a lot of time we get asked to do a talk and there's a different purpose for each one, a different reason you're being invited. But when you look at the overall impact of your public speaking, whether it's the targets you want to hit when doing a talk or the outcome for that person who's listening, what do you think that might be?
That is a wonderful question. I think the outcome for the community and the speaking engagements that I've done really is just about changing the culture, changing the mindsets of people with disability. Before seeing me, and having that talk with them in their community. And then afterwards, you know, looking at things from a different lens and looking at things from a lived experience point of view, rather than a legislation that only meets certain criteria and it's not really policed, or things like, you know, legislation leading itself to a minimum standard or compliance, and not all compliance necessarily meets the needs of people with disabilities. So it's changing that culture, that mindset.
It sounds empowering, too, in the sense of you're there to educate how someone might want to do something, not necessarily be up there at the front of the line advocating like some of the, you know, speakers you've mentioned that you've had on the show, but really teaching me how, what I should think about, what I should know.
Absolutely. You know, it's, disability is different for everybody. And I always say that when you've met one person with a disability, you've met one person with a disability. And in Hamilton, the percentage of people with disabilities at 28% is greater than the provincial and national averages. And I look at that stat and I look at it as an abundance and I look at it as an asset. Because when you talk about lived experience and when you talk about disability in earnest, you know, that's where we can really change the culture and how it looks for people all across Ontario, Canada, not just people with disabilities, but people without disabilities, and seeing the empowering work that when we work together as allies, we could really make the world a better, the best place to live, work, and play inclusively.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much a collaborative mindset. I think that predominantly, you know, a lot of us feel that way, right? There's the education, and sometimes you really got to put the hammer down with legislation and other ways, but an advocacy can get really tough. But at the end of the day, really all of us have to collaborate in order to make anything substantial happen, especially attitudinally. So let's talk about the physical barriers for a second. How do you work to remove physical barriers in buildings and parking lots? You've done some work this way as well.
Yeah, I'm also with the Forward Movement, and we're changing the culture and the mindset by way of the Forward Movement's dynamic symbol rather than the universal symbol of accessibility. But when it comes to a physical mindset and a physical structure, it's not okay that people with disabilities and who use mobility devices can only enter and exit a building. What does that building have to offer? Mm-hmm. Are the washrooms accessible? Is the community that that building serves accessible for people who have different disabilities outside of mine? Looking at it from the point of view, of being proactive rather than reactive, and looking at it as an investment rather than a cost. You know, there's this whole semblance of being around in our community. If you're not accessible, a lot of people with disabilities are not going to go. But if you look at it more so and you provide more accessibility, and from that lived experience, you're going to get more of an end result.
Right. Yeah, so true. It's very interesting when you look at it that way, Anthony, and kind of, you know, say, hey, this is what we feel here. This is what to explore. When you talk about our attitudes and, you know, perceptions, where would you like to say to people when they ask you, what if those of us who are disabled, where do we need to kind of change our attitude?
I think it comes down to, you know, people with disabilities being in more empowering roles, you know, listening to us and with us with intention rather than obligation, you know, dismissing us in a community is really a non-starter for me. You know, giving that place and that platform to be able to produce quality work within the brand that I've created within the community is really important. And understanding disability as a whole is where we can move forward.
And I guess that there's a lot of different levels to it, right, Anthony? There's, you know, what we do individually, what we do as a group, where we take the knowledge that we have and how we express that and who takes part in that way. So are there any kind of upcoming things that you want to shout out that you're looking forward to take part in, or any unique opportunities that you've had in terms of advocacy?
I've had a lot of wonderful experiences, you know, having written the book, doing a lot of commercials where lived experience of disability is part of the commercial, You know, the city of Toronto has actually hired me to be part of their construction zone and traffic management teams to ensure that we're treating our community and our people with disabilities as people and treating them the right way, as we all deserve to be treated.
Awesome. Anthony, can we talk just a little bit more about what services of Above and Beyond kind of offer up and what you'd like to draw some attention to?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, it's, you know, giving that lived experience of disability to be more prevalent in our community. You know, there's things that are done that are not necessarily done correctly, and that, you know, lends itself to a further investment and a further cost. But with Above and Beyond, we really try to get there, and we try to get there early so that we can put together the framework and the idea so that it's done and it's done right to and for everybody to enjoy.
And do you have any mentorship, you know, either formally or informally, where you, you know, offer your guidance or perspectives on how to advocate?
Yeah, absolutely. I've gone to hundreds of schools, whether it be virtually, whether it be in person here in Hamilton. I've spoken on, you know, plenty of stages. And I think the best advice that I can give people is to simply, you know, listen with intention rather than obligation. And it's okay to invest the money now because it will return itself in spades at the end.
Mm-hmm.
What is the question you get at? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, because my question was going to be, what's one of the most challenging things to get people on board with? And I think money speaks volumes.
Absolutely. Because there's not a level of understanding of what that money can return itself at the end. And if you look at, you know, whether you're building a meeting, whether you're putting together a building, look at the accessibility from lived experience. It's not okay just to meet a benchmark, a building code, because the building code, again, lends itself to a minimum standard and lends itself to be compliant. And when you're compliant, you're not meeting the needs of people with disabilities. And that's where the lived experience component really comes in.
Yeah, take it further. Anthony, if people have questions, those of us in our communities and saying, hey, you know, how should I deal with this challenge or things like that, or if someone would like you for a speaking engagement, where can they find you? Where can they go to learn more?
Thank you so much. Yeah, they can go to anthonyferzina.ca or by email at aboveandbeyond.anthony@gmail.com.
Well, it was really lovely having you on the show, Anthony. Any next steps for Above and Beyond that you want to quickly tell us about?
Yeah, again, next steps is, you know, my engagement with the City of Toronto, being part of the construction zone initiative and the traffic agents, bringing more awareness to accessibility and inclusion. I'm also going to be part of a destination college at the end of May as well, teaching our youth about what accessibility looks like. And when we bring inclusion together, we all prosper.
Okay.
Anthony, also, Channel 14, Hamilton area, when do people find it? How? When are you on the air?
Absolutely. Thank you so much. So it's Cable 14, cable14.com. There's a watch live button on the main screen, Mondays at 9 p.m.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Hello, I'm Sean Preece. Join me monthly for Sean of the Shed, where I introduce you to all the technology that can be so useful to us as blind or partially sighted people. Find Sean of the Shed wherever you find all your podcasts.